LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everybody. Let's build the energy. Hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. Have you ever wandered from temples located on windswept mountains, terraces, to ancient monolithic structures built in unexpected locations whose patron has long since been lost to history? The stories of the spiritual earth resound with amazing tales still untold. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up the world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, JD, of HoodooHouseDetroit.com, located in Detroit, Michigan. This week, we welcome our special guest, Nikki Jean, of the Association of Independent Rears and Root Workers, AIR, and MissNikkiJean.com, from Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic, working with your ancestors. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Nikki Jean. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you so much, JD. And welcome, everybody, once again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. So happy to have everybody here. You know, it's been a fun Mercury retrograde so far, so we're hoping to have no sound problems this evening. So, you know, before we get moving with a little bit of housekeeping and everything, let's bounce it back to you, JD. How are things going with you? What's new?
Things are doing good. I'm getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival that's coming up in about a month and making sure everything's ready so we can have a successful presentation. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Definitely feeling the crunch time now for the virtual Hoodoo Heritage Festival. It's almost a month to the day before we all take the stage, so to speak, virtually, and put on what's really going to be another wonderful festival. Tickets are still on sale. You can go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com and get your tickets. It's really going to be a wonderful time, and you know, I'm thrilled to be able to share the weekend with you, my friend, as well as our guest tonight. But before we get to that, you know, just wanted to do a quick shout out for anybody that's listening. It is Magic Mondays yet again on Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Make sure you go over to their Facebook page and make a comment on the Magic Mondays post. You never know. You could be the lucky winner of a 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. It's a great prize. It's like a $60 reading. It's fantastic. But without further ado, very happy to be inviting our guest on today, Miss Nikki Jean. Had the opportunity to meet Nikki in person and listen to her lecture. She's a wealth of knowledge. So I'm sure this is going to be a fantastic show. So how are things going with you, Nikki?
Things are going great. And thank you again for inviting me onto your show. Things are going well. I'm also getting ready to finalizing some stuff for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival this year. I'm a little behind on some things, but yeah, things are going really well.
I think a little behind pretty much is describing the vast majority of us as we're rushing to bring everything together, but it really will be, you know, it comes together. We're going to be joined by Reverend Roy, Deb Voice, Heidi Holton, Reverend James, so many wonderful presenters from AIR this year. And Papa G and Reverend John St. Germain will be our MCs. So it's going to be a great time. And just want to give a quick shout out to, we do have your website listed, MsNikkiJean.com, and you are also a member of AIR, able to be found on the readersandrootworkers.org website. You're also a part of the wonderful Aromagees Botanica in Nashville, yeah. Tennessee. You know, working side by side with Papa G and Reverend Roy on the daily, providing readings, providing knowledge. You know, I was really blown away with your presentation at last year's Tennessee Folk Magic Festival, and totally looking forward to what you bring this year.
Thank you. No, that presentation was it was well accepted, and I think, you know, the community down here in Nashville, there's so many people here that are seeking information about spirituality and just deepening their, you know, magical practice that I did not expect when I first moved down here, that it's been so well received. That I think that's why Aromagees does so well, is that it's such an open and inviting space for community and conversation, and also really safe space to ask all the witchy, you know, silly questions that people maybe don't have access to other people face to face. So yeah, I love working there, and I love being a source of information for what I can, you know, and I'm always learning and growing myself.
No, it was hilarious, so watching you buzz around the store that entire day. Just, I mean, there wasn't anything that you weren't able to assist people with. And I know you also provide readings regularly at the store too, as well, right?
Yeah, I read every Monday night. And I read a guest read too. Yeah, I'm buzzing is a funny word, because that's like my go-to. I just buzz everywhere at that store.
Oh, and we're joined by Reverend Roy in the chat today too. That's wonderful. Now, you know, one of the questions I always start out with when the guests first appear on Mystics and Mages is, you know, how did you come to get on your spiritual path? What's your history with spirituality and metaphysics, magic and such?
Well, mine started with ancestors, honestly. As a kid, I, you know, like many children, you're highly attuned and receptive to seeing spirits and the dead. And I remember I was 8 years old, a great aunt had passed, and I grew up Catholic, so I would always pray for her, like, in a healthy, like, afterlife at church. And I started doing that at night, every night I would just pray for her, tell her to watch over me. And I would see that communication responding back to me as a little kid. You know, she would, I'd find little gifts or, well, you know, I don't hear them. I just saw like she was with me all the time. So I knew that there was something more to the physical world. I didn't really have the education or the knowledge of it, but I did know that like I have dead ancestors following me. And as I've gotten older, I obviously developed and, you know, educated myself into what spirit means and, you know, how can I develop my practice to where I'm kind of more formalized, I guess, and more disciplined in it. And divination helps with tarot, learning to like kind of control the messages I'm getting. So it's not like overwhelming me. Cause that was, you know, I think for any empath younger, you're receiving tons of messages sometimes and you can drown in them or you get overwhelmed and you don't know what, you know, it can just get, yeah, overwhelming. But tarot and just learning divination really helped me kind of separate that so I could get the messages and also give people messages that I'm receiving from the other side. So, I will say that working with my ancestors is number one, knowing that they are always with you. And they're such a huge guide in my life, even now, that I, they're the first and foremost, spirit that I go to every day, every morning, every night.
You know, that's fantastic. Now, do you come from a magical family?
So, you know, again, as I said, I was raised Catholic, and I do believe, you know, Catholicism has a lot of magical undertones to it, whether they want to admit it or not. So, I'm half Italian and half Black, and the Italian side, my grandmother always believed in guardian angels and spirits, and I also just think there's a lot of, like, folk superstitions, like someone says, you know, if you speak ill about somebody, you're going to spit out, you know, literally spit it out so that their ill doesn't stick with you. I wouldn't say they would call that spiritual. Like, you know, they believe that they were like good conservative Catholics, but I saw it as, does that make sense? You know, when you, they talk to guardian angels and they work with the saints, but heaven forbid they would say that's, you know, witchcraft. To them, that is just like how you do it.
Right, it's spirit communication.
Yeah, but I'm like, that's actually what you're doing is magic. You're doing lighting candles, working some prayers, you know, putting your intentions out there. It's all the same thing, just called something differently. But both my sides of my family have a very strong sense of faith, and I think that's what's, and no matter what you believe in, like having faith in your spiritual practice or having faith in your religious belief is really what carries seeing, like, your work grow and your manifestations actually working. So they would say, no, they're not spiritual. Yes, they're religious, but I think it's, you know, yeah, like JD says, a Catholic folk tradition. Yeah.
Definitely a very good way to put it.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I'm understanding is a lot of magical tradition has more or less come to life in you, in your generation, in your family. And, you know, that energy is really strong with you. I do have to say, having had the opportunity to spend time with you, you know, you can just feel that emanate. Without even trying, I guess is about the best way to put it. You know, you really are a light for those who come to you, and it's you. I'm stumbling over my words. This is a great thing for Reverend Art tonight. I'm going to chalk that up to Mercury retrograde as well.
Absolutely.
Because Mercury has been not my friend at all this whole
no,
session.
No.
Normally, I don't have any problems. This time around, it's making up for leaving me alone in the past.
Exactly.
Just putting
That's
it out there.
That's how it works.
So So what kind of things do you have upcoming? You know, what are you working on currently? Anything outside of the Hoodoo Heritage Festival? Is there any upcoming projects that we can...
Yes, I can't say too much, but I am officially becoming initiated in Santeria. I met a woman that I trust very well. She is going to become my godmother. And that is actually going to be happening around the same time as the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. But yeah, I'm ready to kind of dive into that side of my practice, something a little more formal, something more ritualized, something more with an instructor, you know, because I've definitely been on this solitary path, weaving in and out, just like from learning from Greg and Roy, but I've decided to take that step into initiation. So that's where my focus is 100% on that. I'm really nervous and excited about it, but I'm ready for it.
Well, you know, that's fantastic, first and foremost, but, you know, it really is a big step. And, you know, I definitely wish you well, and I'm excited to see how this, you know, like, levels you up. I really feel like this is start of something huge for you. And, you know, a few folks saying it out in the chat too, but, you know, very much congratulations. And
thank you.
Really, really can't wait to see where it grows, not just where it goes.
Yeah, me too.
And then next week, you're also going to be on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour.
Yes, I am. Yep, we're going to be doing fluids.
You know, I'm not going to go into that topic because I want to make sure that we save. I almost said all the juicy bits, but the. Considering the topic, I'm not sure. Well, I guess I said it anyway. So so that's out there now. I'm sure that that's going to be a very lively conversation, and I know everyone's going to enjoy it. I'll be there to support in the announcer's seat, but yeah, that really, it's going to be a good show. So we have initiation. We have Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. We have the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We have the Folk Magic Festival, Tennessee Folk Magic Festival in September.
Yep.
And I'm sure you have many other things in between your readings and conjure work and root work, and you're busy. I'm like tired for you.
I know. I'm like, whoa, this is a lot.
Thanks, Art, for listing it all out. I hadn't realized. That is wonderful. You know, I'm sure a lot of questions are starting to pop up surrounding ancestor work and everything. So I'm thinking we should jump into our topic fairly quickly here. So why don't we take a quick pause and we will get a message from our sponsors and be right back with Miss Nikki Jean on working with your ancestors. Stay tuned.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Sundays 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James Mondays 4 to 5:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain Tuesdays 5 to 6, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay Thursdays 1 to 2, and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse Fridays 7 to 8, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. All of our shows are available in archives at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, where you will see them listed by title and episode and with clickable links. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readerandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo Psychics. Receive a reading with a trusted rooker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Science League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilentleague.org. Thank you to all your sponsors. Back to you, Art.
Thank you, JD. And without further ado, Miss Nikki Jean, I've heard you speak on ancestors before, so I'm going to turn the floor over to you. How does one build that relationship in working with their ancestors?
So the first thing I always tell people when working with their ancestors is taking a step back and asking, like, what do you believe? What happens to you when you die? You know, a lot of people, do you believe in the afterlife? Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe people go to purgatory? You know, like, what does that look like to you? Because one, if you don't believe in an afterlife, and that's totally fine, then unfortunately ancestor work isn't probably for you, because that means there's nothing that happens. If, you know, you live, you breathe, and then you die. If you believe in, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do just believe that. If you do believe in an afterlife, what does that look like? Do you believe that people are being judged on that afterlife? You know, is there like the gates and you did bad, so you're going to go to hell? Because that means your ancestors are going to be in a place like hell or a negative spot. Do you believe that there's a purgatory where they just kind of like live in the void? And I ask these questions because a lot of times people cast a lot of judgment on the dead, and they have a lot of conceptions of like, well, my uncle was a murderer, so he's in hell, and I don't want to contact that guy, so I don't want to work with him. And it's like, okay, so you put the dead in categories. So you only want those that are good versus those that are bad. And there's nothing wrong with what you choose, but you do have to have a belief in the dead and have to believe that there is an afterlife to connect with those spirits. I personally believe, you know, the judgment of like who they were as a person, that goes away once they're died. Their soul, to me, you know, goes into the void. And working with the ancestors, I call it my Batman beacon. When I light my candles, when I do my altars, that soul, that spirit, you know, sees my lit candle, sees my altar, and they come through, help me out, watch over me, whatever it is that I need, or just, you know, listen to my thanks, listen to my gratitude, and goes away. That's how I visualize it. You know, everyone's different, but you have to believe it. It's not something that you can be like, I don't know what I believe. Like, you really have to stand firmly in, like, your faith in what is in the afterlife. And I also encourage people to kind of explore that, because there's so many different ways of what happens to when you're dead. Do you believe in reincarnation? That's a whole nother subject. I saw some questions on that, and that's a whole nother, honestly, subject I would love to talk about. And past lives, I think, is also very interesting as well, that you can connect with ancestor work, but that's for another day. So
that would actually be a really interesting show, because I know Deb Voice, another AIR member, works with past lives as well. So maybe we're building a little bit of a panel discussion.
I mean, past lives are amazing. I think that's very, very interesting, because, like, do you consider an Anton them? You know, you can kind of go really deep in that rabbit hole, which I also encourage, you know, if people have a connection to certain past lives that they believe, you know, and they think they're part of a certain relative family, that's an ancestor technically. But for,
right,
you know, keeping it one-on-one ancestors, I will say, so once you figure out what your belief is, then who are your ancestors? I kind of break them down into three categories. One is like your literal blood relatives, anybody that has died from your family line, like grandma, aunts, uncles, great-grandparents, you know, depending how far back people can trace their family lines to, or the family tree from. Then there is your found family, your chosen family, because a lot of people either were adopted,
nice.
They do not connect with their families. There's a lot of trauma within the families. So you can do your chosen family, adoptive parents, groups of friends, mentors, you know, teachers, just people that changed you, inspired you in your life, you know, who have passed. And then I say your spirit family, so role models. People like, one of mine is Harriet Tubman. You know, I'm not related to her, but she was a living person that has died, and I do a lot of work with her as an ancestor. You know, she was, and I look up to her. So anybody that you find inspiring, whether you're a writer and you want to, like, you know, write this book, call upon Walt Whitman to help you get this book done. However, yeah, so those are the three basic categories of ancestors. So there's really, when I hear people like, I don't know who they are, I don't know what I want, I don't take that as an excuse. I think, you know, you have to kind of dig a little deep and figure that out, because everyone has a family. And I also have to say, pets are great, great guides, spirit animals in our life. So if you have a pet that passed, I think those are such easy access, comfortable, you know, familiars. Like, you can think of them as like your familiar from that you want to work with and always be like your spiritual familiar.
You know, you actually shared something that I found really interesting and I hadn't considered, is the, how did you call them, the, like, for Harriet Tubman?
Oh, my spirit, like my role model spirit. So people who are alive,
role models,
yeah.
Right. I hadn't considered that, and that's very intriguing to me. I do have my former pet's dog who has passed ashes on my ancestor's altar.
Yeah.
But that's really intriguing to me, though. I never really considered role models, and that gives me a lot of questions, but I don't know, I'm not 100% sure where you're going next, and I don't want to, like,
we can start with the role models, because I think those are ones that people have, you know, people who you look up to, and I hope people have inspiration from any history. It could be even, like, you know, Queen Elizabeth or whoever, rest in peace, but you know, people who you feel like just inspire you. And I have several of them. I'll just talk about mine. Like, so Harriet Tubman, I have like a little thing for her in my car. She's a woman that helps guide people traveling distances. And my car is like her chariot, basically. So she like watches over me when I travel. I always like rub. I have a little doll of hers in my car. So I always rub it. I just, you know, thank her for making sure I drive safely from point A to B. I'm from Chicago, so I do drive home a lot from Nashville, and I'm always like, Harriet, let's get me home, girl. And, you know, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it's little things like that. Like, who are they known for in their actual life? I do know a lot of, like, especially in Nashville, a lot of singers and songwriters, a lot of people will go to the cemeteries. There's a lot of famous, like, cemeteries in Nashville with famous songwriters that people will get dirt from. And, you know, put in a little altar just to inspire them to, you know, with their creativity, with their songwriting, with hopefully to get exposed and get more fame, get more marketing. I tell people that all the time, like, that's such an easy, like, ask, you know, leave a little something at their graveyard. But if there's someone that inspires you, they're here to, you know, they're no longer living. So they're here to, you know, try to spread the love spiritually, or, you know, in the ether, I guess.
So a lot of my questions, I guess, are kind of around altar work, and I have a feeling that we're going to touch on that here during the course of this discussion. So I don't want to like push it
yeah.
too far too fast.
So so you have your family. So that's spirit role models. My like family bloodline, I think, is always the easiest way to start your ancestor work. I'm very basic on especially setting up an altar for your family, because one, it is family. A lot of people say they have to, like, you know, spend a lot of money. Like, I say the more you work with your ancestors, with your altar, they'll provide you with money to get more things, but it should be pretty basic. You know, you want to get a picture frame of, if you have those who have passed, like a lot of people have recent dead ones. If you don't know their names, or you just want like who's out in my family, I always say either write the last name of, like, you know, your mom's maiden last name, your dad's last name on a piece of paper, put it in a picture frame. So, again, it's like that Batman beacon. Speaking of bodily fluids, I put blood. I like to put a drop of blood in a picture frame. So anybody that's attached to my bloodline is going to come through. Because that way it's just like a direct connection. Like, who is my bloodline? I don't even have to write the names. If anybody's connected to this, come on down. And I light candles, and I always give thanks. Like, I hardly ask anything from them. When I'm first starting off, I just want them to, like, hey, how, thank you for, you know, letting me be, letting me exist and watching over me, protecting me. And I ask for signs. I always ask for signs. Like, if I'm really serious about it, I'm like, give me 48 hours. Show me that you're with me. Like, I need to know that, like, you're actually walking with me. Again, my family is, from my dad's side, there's a lot of golfers and a lot of people who work in the railroads. So if I see, like, a golf tee, a golf ball, a railroad spike, or a little train, or anything like that on the ground or when I'm walking, like, I know, like, okay, so they're here. But you have to know your family and what they've done or what kind of signs you're looking for that to happen. They're not going to be, like, showing up at the end of your bed, like, hey, it's Grandma. It's more subtle.
Not necessarily
stuff, you know?
Coming to tuck you in.
No, I mean, that can happen, and that definitely can happen. I don't allow spirits to come to me when I'm in bed. Like, you know, I definitely have my spot. Like, they only come down when I light my candles. But, you know, if you have a family that you're not sure of, that's why I do like to, you know, but especially with the altar, I set up a ring of salt, so only good, positive energies are coming to my home and to that altar, and only good, positive, you know, ancestors are trying to help me out, because we all, you know, every family has multiple questionable, I guess, behaviors. I don't want to be.
No, that's very true.
That is.
we'll leave that to everyone's own personal definition.
Yes, and whatever that takes. And a lot of people focus only on the bad. I hear that a lot, too. Well, I had a, you know, someone OD'd, and it's like, well, everybody, I mean, that could be true. Somebody in your family could have been bad, but, like, you know, where's the positive? Like, if you really got to, if you don't feel like you have any good family members, then go to your found family. But to work with the ancestors must mean that you want that connection with the past, who helped, you know, the past, whoever helped you, you know, get to this point. I don't even know if that makes sense, but.
It definitely makes sense. I'm still sitting here in awe of the use of blood. You know, I mean, when you talk about magic, you know, people talk, there's always, you know, people talking about blood magic and things of that nature, but this is something completely different. This is setting up a beacon. This is,
yeah,
bringing forth
it's literally your
those people.
Line, you know?
I think that's the poetry to that. I wrote it down in my notes here. That is something I will be adding to my letter as well. As you know, and for a lot of us in America, actually, unless we're very diligent, we have a hard time tracing our ancestry beyond who came through Ellis Island or arrived in not so pleasant ways, as in, you know, through the slave trade and such. It's just, that's such a very excellent idea and option. Is this, and then you also do the salt ring to protect against anything that you don't know about.
Yes, yes. And speaking of, you know, so yes, there's people who want to find out family, and sometimes it is easier. I think in my class last year, Greg, one of the owners of Rumagees, he said that his ancestors go back to like 1050, you know, the year 1050 in England. I was like, holy, that is incredible. That is 1,000 years over. Yeah, that, I was just mind blown over that. But if, you know, like myself and many others who, you know, brought over by the slave trade, or, you know, if you're indigenous, you're a lot of times those records are lost, never written down. You know, how do you find that out? It's nearly impossible. I do, I do a lot of history just on my own. So I'm like a historian on Ancestry.com, but it does take like a level of dedication to like really, I spend hours and hours and hours just sifting through pieces of paper, hoping to find like, oh, this might be a family member. And a lot of people don't have that time. So again, yeah, putting blood on a picture frame for me, you know, or it could be a dish. I don't know. I just like the idea of a picture frame. I like, I almost think of the movie Coco, you know, when they're worshiping the dead. I think to me, that's one of the most beautiful representations of ancestor worship, is like all the pictures, all the food, like that's so they can come through and just celebrate with you. Like, if I can't have that picture, at least I'm going to have that connection to blood. And if I can't have their names, I'm going to, and honestly, they start showing up. Like, I don't recognize the names, I don't recognize the faces, but I know like in dreams and stuff, family has come through to just like thank me or just love on me or just to, you know, watch over me. So while they never will be known, like, in this real world, I know, like, spiritually, I'm connected to those who have been forgotten by doing that. That's a good question. I'm going to answer this question because it's a good question. It says, what is the difference between coming through and coming down? Coming through, to me, is the same thing as coming down. I say it's, I guess, because I grew up Catholic, heaven is up, so I'm always like, oh, everyone's coming down. But to me, it's the same thing. But coming through is like them appearing or me seeing a message or understanding like, oh, there's my, you know, the cardinal that my grandmother always sends down for me. That's her coming down and saying hello. That's how I recognize that, if that makes any sense. That's how I kind of know that they're kind of.
So you kind of use them interchangeably.
Yeah. So coming through, coming down, appearing. And when I say appearing, and sometimes they do appear, but I see more personally, and I'm sure everybody has different versions, they appear in my dreams, like, you know, their forms, but in my everyday life, I don't see them as, like, the human figures. I see them, you know, in birds or animals or, you know, yeah.
You know, that's actually... This kind of ties into a question that was asked a little bit previously in the chat too. You know, when you work as a medium, you know, you're not always blessed with every version of the clairs as well. You know, people are, oh, the clairs, clairaudience, clairsentience, and so clairvoyance, so on and so forth. You know, like even for myself, you know, I use coming through or so-and-so has presented themselves. You know, things of that nature, you know, it does kind of come down to like it's like a colloquialism for those doing the work, I think. And not so much as a solid descriptor of from which direction they're coming. at least that's my take on it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a better word for it, but I do see feeling their messages. And everybody can.
And when
your
experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you experience the presence of the ancestral spirits, is it more like from a clairvoyant perspective, or is it more from a, I guess from like a trance perspective where they actually can speak through you?
Oh, I see what you mean. So when I'm doing readings for others, because I do speak to the dead and they come through, quote unquote, am I in a trance? Well, when I'm in a reading, I do get into a, you know, I don't know, because maybe I'm so like ADD, like I do turn like a trance-like stage when I'm, or a phase in my brain. I'm already kind of like tuned in. It's not like a possession or anything, but when the dead come through, for me, I feel it. Like, it's almost like maybe they are entering my bodies. I don't know, but I feel everything that they want to say. I feel, I'm, you know, I guess it's clairsentient. I feel
the messages they want to say. I feel like their loss, their happiness, their sadness, their confusion, and I'm able to like say those messages to people. I don't necessarily feel like they're coming into me, but I they're allowing me to tap into that energy. That's how I feel. Like they kind of touch me with their spirit fingers, and I'm able to like, okay, he wants you to know that he's safe. He didn't die bad. He loves you. You know, you need to get off the couch, clean your room. I get a lot of that. I've got a lot of parents who always are like, clean the room. Stop being depressed. Yes, I do use tarot to help me communicate. Sometimes, like, tarot helps me define the message, or, like, helps me know who exactly I'm speaking to, like, who's coming through. But once that portal's open, I'm pretty much kind of just speaking from spirit. So I guess it is possession. I don't really think about what's happening in the moment, but now that I'm, like, processing what you're asking, I'm like, oh, I guess that could be a slight seance, a slight, you know, trance, like,
right.
But I do feel very in control of it, though. I don't feel like I'm being overpowered. Like, I'm still Nikki. I'm still giving the message. When I don't want this message to continue, I'm able to stop it. I don't feel like anything like that's, like, overwhelming me, if that makes sense.
Very interesting. Oh, no, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. A couple more quick questions from our chat, too. So when working with your ancestors, is this hand in your estimation and tradition, is this handled differently than working with, say, the Orishas or gods, spirits, angels, et cetera?
Me personally, absolutely. Yes. One is family. So family gets there. They are, how can I say this? They get the first and the last of everything. You know, I greet them every morning. I say goodnight to them every night. Like, they are, because they're always walking with me. I mean, and when you have a good connection with your ancestors like I do, it's something I've developed for a long time. Like, I know who, like, it's just how you would say hi to your mom and dad, you know, when you used to live with them. It's just they get a separate altar. They're just different because they were actually living humans that have affected my life personally. So they do get a special, to me, a special in my spiritual connection. I keep my spirit worship, like, from my, because I do work with the Orishas, and I work with a lot of saints. I do keep that separate, but I'll add, you know, no, I don't actually. No, I keep my ancestral altar completely separate. They're totally two different versions of work for me. One, and again, my ancestor altar is just a gratitude, appreciation, and then when I need it, protection from just negative people, can you help me? I need to protect my money. But it's like a daily thing I work with. Whereas the Orishas, I kind of work with them on a weekly basis, you know, upkeep that altar. You know, my family comes over, but like my actual family, like, I don't want them to see a dirty house, so I keep, you know, my altar clean all the time. I just treat it like family, you know. If I'm making a little meal that I thought tastes good, I'll leave it on the altar. Where if I'm working with the Orishas, I'm going to prepare like a meal that I know that they actually like, or that they, with the food that they work with and the,
right,
the alcohol that they drink. Where my family, you know, if I have a bowl of mac and cheese, I'll leave some on the altar for my family. It's like casual, I guess, almost.
That's awesome. And, you know, another interesting question is there a difference between ancestor veneration and ancestor worship? For me, I use the two interchangeably, but I'm kind of curious for you.
It's interchangeable. I think veneration, to me, I think of the word as gratitude. Like, I'm venerating them. I'm appreciating them. But worship is, like, a little bit more like, you are holier than me. I worship you because you're better than me kind of thing. Which I don't think is bad or good. I worship my ancestors. I love them. I do think there are a lot of them are better than me. So I hope to, you know, achieve some of the status and some of the success and some of the, you know, energy that they had in this lifetime, in my lifetime. So I use it interchangeably, though, as well.
Okay, so we're about on the same page. So that works for me. Awesome. Have you in your practice, have you found anything to be inherently dangerous that you avoid, or do you find that there's any danger in connecting with your ancestors?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or anyone's ancestors?
Yeah, you want to know, again, the more you know, the more, I would say the stronger your connection will be. So the more you know about your family. So my family, and this is, you know, take it or leave it, there's a lot of alcoholics in my family. So I learned I do not leave alcohol on my ancestor altar. Things, which sounds really silly, but, like, I felt like when I did that, they got drunk. Things weren't really going well. Like, they, you know, so while it's not dangerous, it is, it didn't work for me. So I would say, like, knowing who your families are, like, if there's a history of addiction or if there's a history of violence, you know, maybe don't make sure to, like, not invite those people in. I also feel like I have, again, family members who are in jail. To me, they're some of the strongest protectors of me, you know, like, these guys aren't someone that you'd want to fuck around with on the street. So, at least in spirit life, like, they're not going to have anybody fuck around with me. But I definitely, you know, I wouldn't say, like, if you have, you know, rapist, idol maniac in your family, I would avoid that, because I do think lower energy spirits do come through when you're opening up to the spirit world. That is, like, spirit communication, just a no-no. Like, you should be able to feel when lower energy is coming through and how to cleanse it and how to protect that space. And if you're not aware of that, I did think that's something that people need to be more educated on, because you'll start feeling slow, low energy, crabby, irritable. Like, it's going to affect you, like, possibly emotionally. Things aren't going to go your way. You might have a lot of bad luck. You know, who tagged along with it? You know, crazy uncle. Was he, you know, one of his sloppy friends? But it's easy enough to banish, and, but you do need to kind of, like, keep that up. I'm okay now, set up like where my ancestors are like my bouncers. Like, they are not letting anybody through that is not worthy. But until you kind of establish that connection, you do have to be really, like, aware of, like, how you're feeling, how your money is going, your luck is going, to be like, okay, maybe I need to cleanse and restart this ancestor thing. Maybe there's somebody that I didn't know came through and I need to, like, step this up. And only you can know, like, you know, but those are really big telltale signs. Bad luck, low energy, sickness, I think emotionally irritability, crabby. Those are good tellers of, like, ooh, something's off with the spirit world.
And that's honestly a very important thing, and I'm really glad that you shared that, too. For anybody that is maybe just embarking on their ancestral worship and ancestor veneration journey, you know, you talk about how, you know, everyone can sense energies I do believe on some level, you know, some people call it that gut instinct or mm-hmm. what have you, you know, you're able to know when things aren't quite kosher. And I really appreciate what you said too, about, you know, not putting, I guess the best way to put would be triggers
yes.
on your altar, you
yeah.
know, for putting alcohol in somebody was an alcoholic, you know, that's a disease. It's not necessarily a character trait. So
yeah.
don't provide the medium, so to speak.
Yeah.
to continue that on. That's actually, these are really excellent points that you're making. I'm just saying, kind of sitting here, just my mind is completely racing, and then my mind goes back to, oh, that blood thing was really cool. but, you know, having a little, like, I'm so enthralled with this whole discussion. Really thrilled. You know, another question from the chat, you know, do you ask your ancestors for help with your magical workings, and, you know, do they aid you in some or in not others? For instance, will they offer support in crossings, jinxing, revenge, that sort of work?
Hell yeah. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear, but yeah. I use my ancestors.
You're fine.
They can, working with them and your magical work only strengthens, and to me, like, it supercharges your spell work. So let's talk about the baneful stuff. If there's somebody that I want revenge on that I feel that it's truly like I need justice, I need the karmic, slap on their face for them, yeah, I will ask my ancestors, their family. They're going to, like, get my back and make sure that justice is served in that case. I use them for protection, for money, for love. Yeah, I definitely include them in every single one of my spell work. In one way or the other, or, I'll just, like, make sure to protect me today. I think they're the strongest in protection work to me, though. I will say that 100%. They're always going to protect you, and protection work is including protecting your money, protecting your love life, protecting those who are trying to hurt you, protecting, your luck, protecting your home, and how that shows up. So I definitely, and it's family. And if they can't do it, or if they're not strong enough, I should say this. I will include them, but also go to the rishas or the other deities I do work with to enhance that. But yeah, they know everything. I do not hide anything from any type of work. And that's me personally. That's the relationship I've developed with them. So I do think you need to, don't ask them for all these things right away. Like, I would just thank them and show some gratitude and then slowly be like, hey, I'm going on this trip. Make sure I have a safe trip. Make sure it's responsible, make sure I have good luck, kind of stuff like that. Because if you don't want to be like a spoiled child either, and asking, and not kind of showing gratitude to it. My family doesn't like that.
That's actually much like, we've talked about it on this. It's a hot topic that JD and myself have responded to frequently on like the Lucky Mojo forum. And it comes up yet again here, because when we talk about working with a saint, or for those who work with the Orishas and so on and so forth, it's important to build that relationship. That also happens here. That happens with ancestor worship, is even if they're family, you still need to do that work. You need to build that bridge and strengthen it. And that it does take some time. So it's not something to just, I'm worshiping my ancestors, bring me money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like rude much.
Yeah, like, hello, you're just being spoiled and entitled. So no, my ancestors do not fuck around with that. Do not mess around with that. Sorry, don't mess around with that.
No, you're fine.
But that's very true.
We're a PG-13 show.
Okay.
Well, depending, we fluctuate up and down that scale. But it's like when you talk about Saint Expedite, and everybody's like, I've never worked with Saint Expedite, but I'm going to go and ask him to bring me a car because I need one for the weekend. No. All right. Let me know how that works for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, before we get the questions are coming fast and furious in the chat, but there is one thing I do want to touch on is, what kinds of things, let's talk about setting up an ancestor's altar.
Okay.
Because this kind of goes back to talking about, the three divisions of ancestors that you brought up earlier. Do you put your idols, Harriet Tubman, et cetera, on an altar with family, or do you have them separate? What goes into setting up an ancestor's altar? Or shrine?
I will say I keep it separated. Harriet Tubman, oddly enough, I have like a mini altar in my car, which is crazy. It's like in my little car, the middle console of it.
The console.
So that's, she just travels with me. So she is separate, but like in my home, it is separated. Pictures and who they are. Like I literally printed out a family tree on both sides of my family that I have on my altar just so I can get the names. Cause sometimes it's like, if you have a long family tree, like it's too hard to kind of write that all out. So I just have those family trees printed out. I have a ton of pictures whenever I can. I always try to find more pictures when I go back home. And then I add always a candle, some water, and incense. Like, that's just the basic. And I always tell people to start off with that. Like, as you work with them, they will provide you with the funds to grow more. And they also will find things. So a lot of my ancestor altar are things I found while going on hikes. Again, railroad tracks, golf balls, golf tees, rosaries. I do put, again, since my family was so Catholic, or is so Catholic, I do put saints that I know they worked with. So St. Francis and St. Jude are like my grandmother's favorites. And I only do that because I know you loved them. And then I add things that I like because a lot of these people, they don't know me. Like I didn't meet them in my real life, but like, hey, I found this crystal and this is important to me. And I want to share what I like to you, not just what they like. So I love mermaids and I love seashells. I love everything in the water. So I add important seashells or those important like aquatic things that represent me. So they get to know me some more. You know, I tell people if like you're in college, like you got a good grade in school, like put it on your ancestor altar. They'll be proud of you that you're, you know, doing good in school. Like if you are a musician, play some music for them. I make it, it's a fluid living organism, my ancestor altar. So I'm always changing it, adding, but I definitely include things that I personally like so they can see who I am as a person. You know, I have my like
that is
Lucky Mojo picture up there for them. So like, look it, I'm doing this now.
Different articles and various places over the years about ancestor worship and things. And never once has it come up that I can remember about the ancestor's altar being a conversation between you and your ancestors when you compile that with, you know, the blood option that we discussed earlier. You know, it really makes sense because there will be ancestors that you've not met.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, I have photos of my dad's parents on my ancestor's altar, but I never met them. My grandfather on that side passed when my dad was 14, and my grandmother passed when I was 3 months old. So I mean, although she technically met me, she didn't meet me.
Yes.
So this is like revolutionizing my entire paradigm of how I'm going to be working my altar moving forward. I'm kind of blown away.
I think we grow as people. Like, you know, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. So one of the things I shared with them 5 years ago, I'm in a different phase now. So I'm going to show them, like, I'm keeping them current, you know, whether I dye my hair different color or, you know, whatever. Like, I honestly, because, you know, I have braids, I like will put a braid up there. Like, I like this color of my braids, which sounds so crazy, but I do.
But no, it's a phenomenal. It's just all phenomenal to me. I'm very much in awe at the moment. So I'm just going to stumble over my words in silence and let you take it from here.
Well, also because I do see a lot of questions about generational trauma. Like that's something I get questions a lot too about. Like, okay, you had. Your family was just horrible human beings, or, you know, especially living in the South, I hear a lot, well, my family, you know, they were plantation owners. I'm so ashamed, you know, da, da, da. How can I heal that? And one, I believe as a living person, you need to heal yourself. So if you're carrying that weight, that wasn't you, you know, no one is like blaming you. And I do think like, I'm going to say the plantation owner, just because I get that question asked a lot. You know, don't be racist. Is like the first thing, like, you know, don't act as they acted. I think that's a good step into healing that trauma and like showing that there's progression and that, you know, times have changed. I think if you are living with that same mindset, then that trauma is going to continue. That trauma has affected you in your personal life. Now, I always recommend getting counseling first to heal what you can for yourself. And then you can go back and there's like prayers and there's so many spells you can do to like help the family pass over. Cause there's a lot of times people get stuck in, you know, there's some dark deaths out there. Like, you know, back in the day, it wasn't easy to live. People were dying of disease. Like there's so
right.
much that like you can't heal it all, but you just have to kind of like hope that they have a blessed afterlife and that they're at least like, you know, you can do a spell, light a light candle for healing and just hope that their afterlife is at least a little bit easier now. Like the weight of what they went through is over. And also, especially with a dark death, like a lot of people don't want to be remembered by the way they died. And unfortunately, a lot of people do, whether it was murder or overdose. And they fixate on,
right.
like, oh, he died from overdose, but they weren't just an addict. You know, they were people before the addiction got to them. They were, you know, a good little boy before they became a murderer. So trying to focus on the good when they had the good, I believe everyone is born good. You know, we can be tainted by society. Like that's important to kind of heal or acknowledge like at one point in this person's life, they were a decent person. I like to
right.
be positive, you know, focus on the negative and like the traumas of it all. It's there, but like you're continuing that trauma by only focusing on like what the bad they've done. And if they've done bad throughout their whole life, then, you know, banish them. Goodbye. You know, don't focus on it because you got plenty of other family that want to be acknowledged.
That's very true. Now, this is actually an intriguing question posed that do your ancestors who weren't involved in Santeria feel comfortable with your involvement with it? Like, is this something that, like, as a person grow and evolve, you know, I guess this opens a discussion on if you do something in this life, can your ancestors be very unhappy with you in that situation?
I think so. The Santeria part, that's a funny thing. Yes, because part of my initiation, and I can't say too much, but they have to, you know, my godmother has to ask her spirit and she talks to my and her ancestors to see if this is okay, you know. So, like, there is like she's getting communication from her spirits and her Orishas to ask if I can be initiated. Is there any conflict? She talks to my ancestors. And so we, from both sides, it was a go. And she also told me that my ancestors worshiped ancestors in the past, meaning that she believed that there was some sort of ancestor veneration that's been happening in my family line for a very long time. So this is nothing new to me because it is very natural to me to just, like, talk to the ancestors. But this, according to my godmother, she said that this is very common in my family. So if you've been initiated in Santeria, I believe like those conversations happen with your ancestors, so even if it's okay. So at least that's been my personal experience. Like she had to ask, everything seemed okay, was okay. I do think my ancestors are totally down with it though. They know me at this point. Like they know I'm total holist. So, but I could see some being like, if you know, you come from a very conservative family or a very, you know, lack of a better word, closed-minded family, and you want to step into this, they don't need to know, then maybe they don't need to know about this side of you. Not yet, you know? They don't need to, but I also think, like, their spirit is different when they're dead. Like, we hold on to the ideas of, like, who they were as people, and they're no longer people. I believe that they're souls and their spirits, so that harsh judgment that we have as humans is kind of gone, and I think they're just here for love and guidance. I really believe that. So I see ancestors.
So there's like a
really
degree of enlightenment.
Yes. And if they're not enlightened, then they're probably not going to come through anyway. Or if they're kind of like a scuzzy, sludgy spirit, you're going to know right away anyway. So you're not going to want them around. You know, but I am pretty love and light when it comes to that idea. Because if they're judgy and they're dead, they have no right to judge you. They're dead. So they can go on off. know it's kind of harsh, but that's...
it makes sense to me. In your practice, do you ever connect with your ancestors through, like, I know you have a very close relationship with them, but do you connect to them also in dreams, like astral projection sort of situations? Is there any?
Yeah, dreams. Actually, that's probably for anybody that's starting ancestor work. You will start seeing them in your dreams. Start paying attention to who shows up. If there was somebody like that, maybe you didn't recognize that person, but you felt like, oh, that was like a friend. Like we had the best time. Or they come to you in dreams. And you hear a lot of people say this, like right when someone dies, they'd be like, my mom came to me in a dream. Like they show up. They show up a lot in dreams. I think that's the first real sign of like that connection. I just had a dream. Like I'm getting married next year. I'm wearing my grandmother's wedding dress. And she showed up to me a couple nights ago saying that she liked that I was wearing her dress for the wedding. And I was like, cool. Thanks, Grandma. Like that was, they talk to you. Yeah.
there's a lot to unpack in this other question that we have. It's kind of dealing with, have you actually banished anyone of your ancestral line from further work? Do you play favorites at all? And
I like that.
Honestly, there's one part of this question that's really intriguing to me as well. Which of your ancestors that you work with is the oldest, furthest back in time? Have you ever connected with anybody that maybe pre-verbal or pre-linguistic?
Oh, like the ancient. Oh, man, I could go. Okay, so I'll answer that last question first. I have communicated with what I believe, and this is a total belief, I'm the ancient ancestors from, because we all came from a woman in Africa. That's, what science has said, that's just kind of there. But I believe that along those lines that there are ancestors who possibly could be aliens. I don't know, that came through, dropped down. I call them my future ancestors, meaning that they've already been here before, but they left. And I know that's a whole other thing, but I have tried to communicate with them. I don't ask them for a lot of work because a lot of that energy is very primordial. I'm not too sure what I would do with it. I acknowledge that their existence. I kind of like look for what deeper meanings of life and like what's our purpose kind of questions, but I don't really try to like work with them on a daily basis. Ancestors that I've banished, I haven't banished any of mine, but I've cut them off from alcohol, like I said, because both sides of my family they have addictions. And things have got a little sloppy. And so I've banished my certain offerings to them to keep it up. But I do know that if there's somebody that you did not like, it's an easy, banishing is as easy as cleansing or removing them off the altar and making sure that the positive ancestors are like kind of being your bouncers, as I like to call it.
Right.
Because, your family will be protecting you. The more you work with them, the more they're going to be like, hey, we don't like him because he was actually shady. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, some of the shadier guys are useful in baneful work. Or if there's somebody that's just fucking around with you or you don't feel safe around, I call upon them to maybe do some of the dirtier work that my love and light ancestors won't do. Or they just want to be good at, They just don't have the knowledge of their criminal history, I guess. And that sounds really shady, but, sometimes I need someone that knows the criminal system, I guess.
Someone with some street sense.
Yeah, there you go, some street smarts. Yeah, I'm revealing too much.
No, honestly, this we're kind of developing almost a really – well-developed picture of ancestor worship. And the kind of, I had this question as well. It's posed to also in the chat. Have you come across any, I'm just going to say it, any instances of like animal sacrifice in ancestor worship being a necessity. Like for myself, it isn't really something that is necessary in my practice. But what's your take on that?
My take on it is I, getting initiated in Santeria, that is something that is, it's a part of it. I have no problem with it. I do believe, you know, we eat animals every day, you know, however they're being killed. I think the sacrifice is a little more personal. It's just the energy of kind of taking ownership of the death of that animal that we're going to eat anyway or, part, you know, use for. So I think animal sacrifices, if the ancestors did do that, it is a very powerful way to connect and get that more energy out there. So I see no problem with it. And again, they're animals that we eat on a daily basis, whether you're going to McDonald's or a steakhouse, but, you know, you're having that personal connection to relieving the life of that animal, and knowing that it's for a greater cause, I think is actually really powerful. I have no problems with, do it myself, but I have participated in that, so I've looked at it,
different views at it on it, you know, and really, you know, I approach it from a very non-judgmental stance in that if it's part of your belief, if it's part of your system, it's not for me to, you know, look down at it or anything of that nature. And I was kind of curious your take on it. And it sounds like, you know, you're kind of along the same lines.
Yeah. I mean, we eat the animals anyway. So I think if you're eating an animal, you're unknowingly eating something that was sacrificed probably without any ritual or any love or any kind of attention. So the animals that are sacrificed are being used in a strong spiritual sense that, you know, and I don't
it's
know.
It's not
I
a meaningless
feel like I'm
death. Over that.
No.
You know,
ancestors.
There's another interesting question. Do you have any superstitions you follow religiously in your ancestors' practice?
Yes. I mean, these are lists, and I think there's a, like, more folk superstitions. Like, again, speaking ill of somebody, I always spit out their name after I'm done, just so I don't have the energy. And I think that's very Italian. I don't know. My grandmother taught me that. So I don't, because they just have energy. So you want to relieve your body from that. There's a lot of body fluids talking about this. I also...
Remember
I know
that from
more
Sunday.
More African American side, but like not leaving your purse on the ground. That means you're losing money. So, and my ancestors don't like, so I absolutely never have my purse touching before, because money's going to get taken or stolen from you. Every time I see a cemetery, I do the sign of the cross. Every time I always give thanks to my food. I think that's just me being a Catholic. I think the things I do on a daily basis is when I speak ill of somebody, I secretly spit out their name. I think that's really powerful because I feel like I hold a lot of energy. Maybe that's because I'm a Cancer, I'm a water sign, so I'm really absorbent. So like if I say something good, I don't want that sitting in my energy field. Sorry, just let it out.
You know, I seem to, our friend JD, also of Italian descent, I seem to remember him saying something along the same lines. I think it was more of a personal discussion at the time about that spitting out the name.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll jump into the chat and maybe confirm or say, Reverend Art, you've lost your mind.
I just very fine. I mean, I feel like it's really middle or Mediterranean or something, but like it is, you'll see. Yeah. I don't know. That's something I always stick to. And again, I think superstitions could be, say the name and spit three times on the ground. Exactly. Okay. So yeah, that's,
I wasn't making that up. We have talked about that. You know, sometimes this Mercury retrograde, sometimes I'm wondering if I'm making sure all the wires are getting connected.
No, you're good.
So this is actually a really good question for anyone that is launching their ancestor worshiping practice. You know, are there times when, you know, you and let me preface this actually a little bit with saying, you know, when you talk about sometimes using the pendulum or using a Ouija board, that you get negative entities like sin, malevolent, mischievous spirits that come in and more or less mess with you, where you think you're connecting to, you know, great Aunt Effie, but it's really, you know, so-and-so the cursed. Is that something that you feel you find happens or you feel happens with ancestor worship, or is it more that the actual family? Go ahead.
No, definitely lower energy spirits can latch on to, like, you know, positive spirits. When that happens, though, you yourself, the person that's trying to communicate with them, how, like, where's your mental health at? Like, that's number one. Like, if you're depressed, you're already not feeling good, lower energy spirits are easier to attach to sludgy, negative environments. So they're only going to come through if, like, you know, you're already in a dark spot. You know, you don't keep a clean house. I think keeping a clean house is a huge thing. You have a dirty house, you're going to get dirty spirits. You know, so be very aware of just, like, your physical environment and your physical mental health state. Because if you're sad or you're just not doing okay, you're drinking a lot, you're under the influence of a lot of things, maybe now's not the time to start that work. Like, maybe clean up, get some help, and then start that communication, because you won't be able to tell, like, if that was your great aunt Effie or a lower energy spirit, because you're already clouded, you're already fogged. If you're asking for something desperate or you're trying to do it in a desperate attempt, you're going to get just those lower energy spirits that just, like, love to be parasites and love when you're in a weakened state spiritually and mentally and physically. So I think, you know, you got to keep a clean house, a clean body at times, and a clean head to start this work, to get, so you know immediately, oh, bad, something bad's coming. I'm not even, like, you can stop it, you can banish it and cast it off. If when you're in your weekend, and we all have our ups and downs, like, this is no judgment. We all have days, weeks, months of just, like, not being okay. So I would make sure that you, yeah, keep your house clean, keep your mental health clean, keep your spiritual life clean before the actual spirit communication. So that way you can better off defend yourself, and you're not going to get those, because I do believe those lower energy spirits seep into homes and to, you know, to piggyback, like I like to say, off of, you know, they found an opening and they're going to, you know, become like a parasite or a virus. They only survive when you are in a lower energy state, when you are sick, when you're mentally sick, when you have a dirty house. They only can linger and hide in those places because there's just a lot of fog and you're not clear enough to see what's real and what's, or not what's real, but what's family and what's actually an infestation, so to speak.
Very well
put. Does that make sense? Yeah. So don't mess with it if you're
Vulcan
in a desperate spot.
No, you, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, don't mess with it if you're in a desperate spot or you're like, I need my boyfriend back and I can't. Like, that's not the time to talk to ancestors. Like, you need to make sure that you're not in a desperate state, depressed state. And I mean depressed as in, like, you're just under the influence of a lot of drugs or alcohol or, you know, it's, because you're just becoming a weak, it's easy for a virus to seep in that way. So it's like your immune system, you know. If you don't keep your body healthy, you can get sick, and now you got all these bad guys around you.
So maintain that spiritual health as well.
Spiritual health is huge, yeah.
You know, Balkan Diviner, who asks some of the most fantastic questions that we get on the show, between Nagashiva and Balkan Diviner, it's wonderful to have you both in the chat with us. But he was asking, have you ever thought about yourself and why you're drawn to ancestor worship in particular?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I didn't acknowledge this until I had my reading with my Santeria and my godmother, and she told me that, like, my ancestors have done worshiped ancestors in the past, like a long line of it. And it's like, that's why it's so natural to you. I've never thought about, like, why until that kind of was brought up to me. So I do feel like it is in my bloodline to do it. It's just something in my DNA. It's very natural. And, you know, I do see, yes, my zodiac sign, I am a Cancer. So, you know, I think water signs we're intuitive. We like to, like, look at the underbelly of things. And there is a sense of, like, being able to speak with the dead already. I was never scared of the dead. I'm still not scared of the dead. At a very young age, I was like, oh, there's a dead person. Like, it wasn't a negative for me. And I don't know if I was just like, why, you know, it's strange. I have a twin brother who's also very in tuned. And then I have a younger brother who's also a twin, but his twin passed. And so all three of us always saw my younger twin, my dead twin, when I was younger. It was super strange. Like, I was born around a lot of dead, I guess, if that makes sense. At a young age it was just really easy for me to kind of, like, not be scared of it. And I think that's what scares a lot of people is when they hear dead, they're like zombies or scare you, or they're going to, like, you know,
right,
throw pots at you, or poltergeists, you know, whatever the media shows. It's really not like that. I've seen some crazy stuff, but, like, it's not like poltergeist, which I think a lot of people ask, like, I don't want, you know, someone grabbing my bed sheets or throwing me off my bed, or, you know, it's like, that's
I had a meme that I saw on Facebook come to my mind when you said that. I was just like, I'm not going to get into it. That's off topic. I'll post it on my Facebook page, Reverend Art Psychic, at some point here soon for anybody that's curious about, you know, what makes me laugh. Anyway, very off the wall kind of sidebar there. Yes, totally lost my train of thought. We have roughly about 4 minutes left. Wanted to get in a couple more questions. Do you practice ancestor elevation?
Ancestor elevation. To move on, yes. Yes. So, and I don't do this so much with, yes, I do. Hopefully I'm saying this right. Like, people who have died and they need to, like, have a, like, pass on to the light, like, go on to the light, like, your time is in this realm is over kind of thing. Is that what that means? Like, to guide into the other side? Is that what that means? Or, like
that's
where ancestors are
in part of it. Sometimes, though, it's also raising lower energy to higher,
yes,
energy, almost like post-death therapy.
Yeah. I do. Because, again, like I said, a lot of people die traumatically. So, and addicts are probably the most common one where they're, you know, unfortunately, addiction is just such a horrible disease. And a lot of people do not have the resources or the funding to get help to recover from addiction. So, and the addicts die usually really guilty. Like, there's a lot of pain. They're trying to escape. There's a lot of trauma that's, like, stuck inside the addict. That when they die, they just don't want to be in reality anymore. So I try to, when those people come through, it's trying to heal their guilt, their shame, and that they're not being remembered as the addict, and that they were still loved, as you know, because people come to me for that. So, like, they're obviously loved, still exists for that addict that passed, and that they're, you know, it's time to, like, move on and heal from that pain. But yeah, I definitely do. Cause a lot of times the family will just hold on. And I do think families are the ones that keep the spirits stuck more than the spirits actually being stuck. Cause they are angry how they died. They are pissed, you know, especially suicide too. Like, how could they just, you know, there's so much pain that the living has to remember that the spirit is still stuck in that pain. So it's really healing, like, the living family, and letting them release and let them try to remember some good so that spirit can at least be elevated or be able to connect to them in a better plane. It's usually involved around painful death, so, or traumatic death, suicide, addiction, murder, rape, stuff like that.
Very interesting.
Which is not fun to talk about, but like, yeah.
Right. I do have one quick question, too, before we have things up for today. See, the time just flies, and I know you were nervous. It's like, how are we going to get through an hour and a half?
We did it.
I was not aware that you were a twin. And
yeah,
I'm curious,
yeah.
You know, does your twin or your other sibling, do they also practice the ancestor worship?
Yes and no. They're not as they're both, well, males, I do believe like men aren't just have access to the spiritual side as easily as females do. But they practice ancestor worship on their own levels, but they're also very in tuned and intuitive as well. Very, very spiritual people. You know, I can feel my twin brother. Like when he's sad, I know he's sad. I'm like, what's up, Chris? What's going on?
So you're opening the door for a whole nother show that I wanted to
do
about
power.
Psychic twins. Psychic
yeah,
twins.
I know.
Future show.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that
Nikki,
true.
We have about 20 seconds left, and I do want to say thank you so much for joining us this week. Folks, you can catch her on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm sure that's going to be another phenomenal show.
Yeah,
thank you, Nikki, from the bottom of my heart. And you're welcome to come back whenever you'd like. But that's all the time we have for tonight. And, you know, I hope everybody's enjoyed their time with us this evening. And until next time, we keep magical up. Take it up, JD.
That's all the time we have for tonight. We hope you're enjoying your time with us this evening. Until next time, we meet. Keep the magic alive. Take us out, JD. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's that? And thank you, Nikki Jean and NikkiJean.com for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company and Hoodoo Psychics will be Miss Catherine Ironwood from Forestville, California, with a discussion on her new book, Astrology for Root Workers. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com at Lucky Mojo Forum and at forum.luckymojo.com, on Reader and Rootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your announcer, JD, joining you from HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live in Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in the archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show on the Lucky Mojo Radio Forum. For all of us at Mystics Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow us at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystical Mages Magical Places on Instagram. For updates and news, we'll be here back next week at the same time. Come to the spell, link.